You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, February 17th. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast. At the FF Ballers on Twitter if you want to follow us over there. Mike, you look like you're
I'm seeing that this is a show 1206. Because we put the number.
So 1,206 shows.
That means that we just passed show 1,200.
Right. I don't think we're using those benchmarks anymore.
We aren't?
Not for like big parties.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want a big party, but I just want to, you know, acknowledge that you've rounded a corner.
But like, it's like not even a corner anymore.
1,200?
No, now it goes by 500s, absolutely. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, eventually, it will be thousands once you hit 10,000.
Yep.
Yeah. See, we're in perfect agreement over here. Unwritten rules of show numbers.
I did.
10,000 is a ways away.
I guess I missed that meeting.
We'll get there.
We can't hit 10,000.
We can absolutely hit 10,000.
We've done this for 7 years, and we're at 1,206.
Oof, we will probably not.
You hadn't put that together.
Okay.
2 days. I read you loud and clear.
Oh no.
ten a week.
Two
in August.
A days. Don't tempt the Foot Clan.
Kyle, do the math on how long it would take us to get to show 10,000.
Yeah, that's number one priority.
I want to know how many years we need to do this to get to show 10,000.
Okay. And how old we'll be when we
don't
do the
put
show.
That, don't put that part. Please don't put that part.
One thing I didn't, you know, we've got a rookie review on today's show, by the way. We're going to go talk through all the rookies at all the positions. And this will be fun because a lot of dynasty implications for these players. You know, long careers ahead of them, people invested rookie picks, and they want to know, you know, some players you know you hit, but others you think you might have missed, and did you, or did you not? But I didn't get the rundown, and this is my fault, Foot Clan, for not pursuing this line of thinking on Tuesday's show, but I didn't really get the Super Bowl food rundown from you guys.
Ooh. Okay. Now we're
so
talking.
I'm just kind of curious, because you've said before that any Super Bowl party can have many things, but it must have pizza. So let me see if that box was checked.
The centerpiece of food was pizza.
Okay.
Pizza was there.
I had wings.
Mm-hmm.
Spaghetti.
Both.
Both kinds, boneless and bone.
And nugget.
And nuggets, which, yeah. spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, really? Just for no reason? Just throw it in
there? No, because it's delicious.
Okay.
We had also meatballs, just separate, totally different, you know, the Swedish style.
Totally different.
Dessert pizzas. You got to get the dessert pizzas. A little cinnamon. What am I missing here? Probably a lot of things.
Didn't no barbecue?
No barbecue.
It was the little wieners.
Oh, yeah. The bacon-wrapped dates. They actually weren't little wieners in there.
Oh,
dates.
I thought there was a pigs in a blanket situation as well.
No, that would have been.
See, Kyle did some loose math that anybody could have done. Which is,
does that mean it's just a guess?
Yeah, well, you just said if we did 1,006 years, 60 years of this show isn't happening. We knew that math. He wanted a date.
Well, actually, I was looking for the lazy math, but
really, you
give
didn't
me a date now.
All right. Well,
also, I could definitely do this for 60 more years.
Yeah, he thinks we'll be dead.
Well, that's
I'll be in the
but
machine.
He doesn't know how technology is about. Mike will be in the machine, yes. He said.
Yeah, which means that I can easily hit that.
His avatar will be producing shows in 60 years from now. So, Mike, did you do anything different for food, or were you over at his
there.
Place?
No, I was over there by the second quarter.
Okay.
It was a weird Super Bowl day.
We just got a few pies. I had my parents and
blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there was a peach pie at the park. There was a peach pie. But what was funny is we just got like three large pizzas, right? And then pepperoni, a cheese. And then I got a large pizza that's the olive oil pizza, right? There's sauce. It's olive oil.
It's good.
And then I put like roast beef and
you put tomato sauce on it.
Or beef and bacon on it. And my wife made fun of this pizza.
No, I'm sure that's delightful.
And she said, you know, why get a whole pizza this way? She says. It was the hit.
Yeah.
It was the number one
pizza. First one gone.
It was the number one pizza. So don't underestimate it. It's pretty good.
No, I'm with
it. But I think it really was the meat that held that up.
There's
it wasn't the wrong way to pizza.
That's what I've learned over life.
Here's a quick question for today's show. What is Cam Akers' outlook for 2022? That face says that the Super Bowl had an impact on you.
It wasn't. It's not just the Super Bowl. That was the big reveal at the end of a really bad playoff run. I did the quick, dirty math.
Okay.
And
Kyle math, we call that. Go on.
And this was not lack of opportunity for Mr. Cam Akers, but throughout the playoffs. And look, yards per carry, certainly not the end-all, be-all of stats, but it is definitely somewhere you can start. And 2.5 yards per carry.
He looked smaller last night than he's ever looked.
I mean, he had
for the Super Bowl.
Since coming back, he did have a couple like impact angry runs where, I mean, he took Buda Baker out of a game, and I feel like he hit somebody else, and it was like, man, that was a really strong collision. But you cannot, if this is how an offense is going and someone's giving you 2.5 yards per carry, you can't keep giving them 15 plus touches on the ground. Like, eventually that they will move away from that player.
What I think Rams fans would be quick to mention that the offensive line really didn't play that well.
And he's just back from by all accounts, I feel like he should not have been back medically cleared to play off of the Achilles injury, but he was not helping the team. When you give a player 24 attempts and it turns into 48 rushing yards, that is not...
Is that the playoff run?
No, that was the game against Tampa.
13 for 21 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So answer the question then, how do you feel about...
We're very worried. I'm worried about the player, not worried about the opportunity. It seems like McVay really does want him to be the guy and is seeing enough at practice that they're going to still make him the focal point of the offense when it comes to running the ball. But this is going to be a long off season of Cam Akers working his way back into the player we thought that the Rams had drafted. Because that was not that player.
Yeah, I do think he will be better than he was in the playoff run. When he kind of first got back, he looked like, man, he's still got the juice. He got back to it. And then as the playoffs stretched on, seemingly got worse and worse. And I don't know if that's just a matter of, you know, he had a really horrific running back injury that he came back from in short order. And so, you know, that's got to take your toll on a human body. But now having a full offseason, he's only 22 years old. So this is a young, talented running back. I am a little bit rosier, but I do have...
Henderson is under contract next year on a cheap deal.
Yeah, I do have worries that he'll never get back to being the player he was. I went into last year with him in my top five at running back. I was very bullish on him. And then the injury seemed like it could be a career ender. I feel like he will probably be around running back 15 for me, if I had to guess, going forward now. I expect Andrew Whitworth will retire and walk away as a Super Bowl champ on top of the world at his age. I don't know how retirement works salary cap wise, but he's only got a dead cap of like a little over $1 million this year for his contract. So I think Whitworth won't be back. That's not going to be helpful for the running game.
But what it will come down to, one, I have no idea what his ADP will be. I think that people will be excited and they'll take him, you know, third, fourth round. And just my snap judgment at this point, which is very early, is that that is going to be a pick that is outrageously fantastic or just devastatingly bad. It won't be he kind of returned value. I think he will swing one way or one extreme or the other.
Yeah, I think if you don't read too much into trying to evaluate the play when he's breaking all the rules coming off the Achilles and you look at team and opportunity, there's reasons to be optimistic. The age,
yes,
the roster, the head coach, you know, Sonny Michel will be gone. And yeah, I think it'll be – it's one of those bets on all the peripherals mixed with the player that you saw coming out of college hoping he gets back to it.
Yep.
Reminder, you can hop into the UDK Plus right now, ultimatedraftkit.com, and if you pick it up at the lowest possible price, we'll give you a discount for pre-ordering it, and you can do that before March 10th and get a shot at a Listener League spot.
Woohoo! Play with us.
And we did not win the Listener League. One of the three of us did not win it this year. And the winner's been chirping. And I don't like
it.
So you can win a spot to play with us in the Listener League, ultimatedraftkit.com. Find us on Twitter at the FFBallers, Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers. Let's talk rookies.
Rookie review.
All right, we are looking at all the positions, all the rookies, see which ones were impressive. We're calling, you know, helped you out, helped your fantasy football roster out in year one, the impressive rookies.
Oh, yes.
They get a round of applause.
The people love it.
Then we've got a category, ho-hum, just okay. Not great, not disappointing, just did the job.
Okay.
And then we've got the minimal fantasy impact, disappointing, not so good.
Well, better luck next year.
Also known as the quarterbacks.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is true. There are no impressive fantasy rookie quarterbacks.
Fantasy, yes. Like, you can say, oh, Mac Jones, what a legitimately great rookie season. Not for fantasy.
Correct.
Yeah, and I don't know that, you know, he's going to have to take...
No Justin Herbert this year.
No, nobody who really got off to even, you know, a lot of times rookies, they will not be great for fantasy, but they will at least show you the path towards next year's greatness.
Really? You feel like there wasn't a player that showed you the path?
Well, is this a Lance?
No.
Oh.
Is this a Mac?
What? No.
Is this a Fields?
This is Justin Fields.
No, I didn't feel that, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
He showed momentary flashes of maybe he can do it, but
you would have as many to point to for Zach Wilson as you would for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
When I look at my expectations coming into last year on Justin Fields and what he did, he definitely disappointed from what I believed he was going to be.
Justin Fields finished with four of his final five games. He was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Zach Wilson was a top 10 fantasy quarterback twice.
Now, that is a very fine line.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10 in three of those four. But he did. It does sound good coming out
of
your mouth.
It does sound good when you say it like that. But also, the first half of the year was horrific and terrible and awful. And so, like I said, he showed flashes. He did.
But you also have to appropriately tell the story of the beginning of the year. He didn't start in week one. Number two wasn't even a full game. Like, they weren't.
What about 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
Right. But Zach Wilson was the starter from day one. He was drafted to be the starter. Justin Fields over training camp was not the starter. It was Andy Dalton. And then it was, let's pick up the pieces and try and figure out how to get this offense moving with Fields.
Let me ask it this way, Mike. Because I know we were all three pretty bullish on Fields as a prospect coming
yes.
in. Would you say he met your expectations this year? You think he did?
I think.
Or did he disappoint you?
I would say, yeah. He disappointed, but my question that I had asked was, you don't see the path moving forward, and I 100% see that for what Fields was able to do after the very, very terrible start.
Yeah, I'm just letting you guys have
it. I like digging in. Now, the question goes forward. Obviously, it's a little too early to know weapons, right? Allen Robinson, I think the world presumes he will be gone. I don't think he did enough and had the relationship with the Bears to be back, and probably addition by subtraction considering what he was. Darnell Mooney can grow, but my point is without Allen Robinson, you really don't have a passing core here. I mean, Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney, you might like them for what they are, but that's not a good enough receiving core for an NFL franchise to set a quarterback up for, you know, that leap into year two.
I can agree with that, but that to me is a foundation. Like, if you add another, I think if you make one kind of splashy move, whether it's in the draft with a first or a second round pick, or
it would have to be this year.
Yeah, or somehow you get like Calvin Ridley or the free agents as a wide receiver.
End of list.
Yeah, it's pretty rough this year, but I think that the foundation is there that it wouldn't take a complete overhaul to get things going in the right direction.
Well, let's just get spicy early on here then.
All right.
Because I wasn't expecting that discussion. It doesn't really matter what order we have these guys in. There were no excellent fantasy rookie quarterbacks. There was one okay. It was Mac Jones. Consistency rank of 21, QB 18 finish, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks. It was an impressive year leading the offense. Didn't do much for fantasy purposes, and we talked about him in the QB Truth episode, the second one. But it's simple. I mean, are you taking Mac Jones in a dynasty league, or are you taking Justin Fields in a dynasty league?
Justin Fields, easily.
Great question.
Because it has to be factored in a dynasty. Does the guy have a... Like, I feel like Mac Jones answered the question of, is he the future quarterback for the next 10 years for this franchise? I think the answer is going to be a definitive yes. I think he answered it better than Justin answered it.
The ceiling is clearly...
Okay.
The ceiling... So this is the way I look at these two players, and this is a fantasy football philosophy of how you play, especially in Dynasty. The ceiling is definitely higher for Justin Fields because of his mobility, rushing touchdown, rushing yardage. If they both hit, there's no... Mac won't be able to do for fantasy what Justin Fields can do. But Mac seems like a pretty surefire prospect as of this moment to at least put out a David Carr or David Carr, hopefully, a Derek Carr-esque career, a Matt Ryan-esque career where you're going to have plenty of fantasy relevance. Not glory, but a lot of important fantasy relevance for dynasty leagues. That makes a huge deal and a long, long time. I expect him to play 10 years. Whereas Justin Fields showed some flashes, but he's the type of quarterback that 3 years from now could be out of the league. And so I lean towards the Mac Jones side because if I had to really bet whether 4 years from now Justin Fields is a starter, I think I would bet against it.
The hard part is we've had some rookies in recent history that don't look like rookies. I mean, Justin Herbert was an example.
Yes.
Mac Jones, I think, was an example this year. And then we have several in the disappointing fantasy-wise group for today that look like rookies through the whole year. And Trevor Lawrence looked like a rookie through the whole year. I think Justin Fields did too. Decision making, that evolution. I don't know how much was, you know, Matt Nagy's fault, right? If we like Justin Fields, we'll make all those excuses for him. If we don't like him, we'll use them against him. But that begs the question because this is, look, I asked you about Mac Jones and asked you about Justin Fields, that situation. So there are probably leagues, dynasty leagues, if you're side with Mike, you could go swap Mac Fields for Mac Jones for Justin Fields.
Oh, and I would do that immediately.
But then the question gets teased out with a couple other names, right? Where you say, are you a Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence? Are you a Justin Fields or Zach Wilson with what you saw this year? Lawrence, just to give you the numbers, finished at QB 22, 35th most consistent. It was not a good year for him.
He had 12 touchdowns. I know rookies don't throw 17 picks. Rookies don't throw a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's...
I don't expect him to go out and throw for 35 or have a Justin Herbert.
His 12 passing touchdowns and 214 yards per game were the lowest ever for a quarterback with 600 attempts. So he played the whole year, gave you 0% great games, one good game this whole season, busted most of the time. And then Zach Wilson, look, he did some of what Fields did at the end of the year. He gave a couple of impressive fantasy performances, number 6 overall in week 13, number 4 overall in week 16, mostly busted, like Lawrence. He had 7 picks in the first 3 games, only threw 4 more the rest of the season. But this was not a prolific season, finished at QB 30. So in a dynasty, again, you can go swap, right? If you've got Trevor Lawrence and you've got Zach Wilson, are you going to swap them for Fields?
Zach Wilson, I would swap for Fields immediately. Trevor Lawrence is, man, that's far more difficult of the, some guys, when they come into the league, the adjustment is very, very difficult. It clearly was a difficult thing for Trevor Lawrence, and it was compounded by, like, that year with Urban and everything that was happening on a weekly basis. It felt like there was some sort of scandal involving that team. Like, that must have been a very tough work environment on top of Urban Meyer should not have been a head coach in the NFL to begin with. So I'm not bailing on Trevor Lawrence. If you could turn Fields into Lawrence, I don't think I would. I think I would just stick it out with Fields.
Yeah, I have major. I love that they made a coaching change and that they brought someone in who has taken a rookie quarterback up and yada, yada, yada. I'm not burying Trevor Lawrence as in he can't be good, but he didn't do anything. He didn't ever pass the eyeball test. He always looked – he was inaccurate.
Outmatched.
Outgunned. He was terrible. He was terrible. So, but he's got the biggest name. He's got the highest draft capital you can have. If I could go and trade Trevor Lawrence to someone who believes for a Trey Lance who didn't play, I would do that without – Trevor Lawrence for Trey Lance in a heartbeat.
So as of now, heading into year two of this rookie crop, you have Trey Lance at the top.
Yeah, Trey Lance would be my number one. He's got the rushing mobility. He's going to have the actual full-time job with a good team, with weapons like Debo and Kittle and Ayuk.
That's a good topic to bring up with these rookies because – if you think about the path, what's the path for Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson? The path is you need a year in between this last season and fantasy greatness, at least 1 year.
Sure.
You need at least 1 year where he's flashing and doing the Herbert rookie season stuff. So then at best case, maybe you have a really relevant player probably in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at Trey Lance and you say, okay, well, we haven't seen him on the field and he can flame out. But if he doesn't, it's baked in that he'll be a top 10 running quarterback. So I think it's interesting. I think I like Wilson more than Lawrence. I think that the franchise and the weapons and some of what Zach Wilson is held against him in this rookie season is, I mean, this was a player under fire at every moment in terms of the offensive line was a humongous issue for this team. And he probably tried to do too much. But I wish that Lawrence had tried a few more times to do too much. And I wish I would have got to see, you know, a play that I said, wow, that arm is, you know, that blew me away, or that decision making or that evasiveness. I didn't see a lot of that from Lawrence. And Wilson, I like the organizational situation for him better. Elijah Moore. You'll have Corey Davis for another year. You're gonna have some weapons in the draft. I guess I just like it a little bit more.
I was gonna say Wilson at least has Elijah Moore. And like those two can grow together, and I think I've seen enough from Elijah Moore to know, yep, that dude has it. Can he be elite? That remains to be seen, but he can be one of the better wide receivers in the league. The Jaguars, I don't know who that is, and like Wilson still has Michael Carter. I don't think Michael Carter is an elite running back, but he's good. Like you have some pieces that you can build on for this team, and you had even back when Josh Allen's rookie year, it was like, I mean, forever ago, but fantasy, he came on at the end where like he had these huge games because he was running. Throwing the ball was rough, but at least several times throughout the year, you saw Josh Allen make a throw and you go, holy crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I can list a handful of quarterbacks in the league right now that can make that type of a throw where you didn't see that flash play from Lawrence.
Yeah, and it needs to be remembered by fans and players that there's also the middle ground outcome for a lot of these players. There's the Mariota, Winston, they never ascend to top 10 greatness.
But they're starter good.
But they're starter good, or they're starter okay. I mean, Mariota was okay for fantasy at times.
Oh, yeah.
He flames out after his first contract. He's a backup the rest of his career. And for dynasty players, those outcomes aren't very good either.
Right.
I mean, if Justin Fields is fantasy okay and flames out, or Trey Lance does that, that's the risk.
That's kind of the
that's
path
why you might like Mac Jones.
That's exactly. That's the path I see for Fields. I hope that he turns more Russell Wilson than he does Mariota, but I think he'll have a couple fantasy relevant years and might not get to that next contract. I just wrote down, because I hadn't really taken this exercise myself, and I thinking through these guys, what would my dynasty order be of these five quarterbacks? Personally, I would have Trey Lance number one, Mac Jones two, Justin Fields 3, Trevor Lawrence 4, and Zach Wilson 5.
I am in the identical list, but I'd flip-flop Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Lawrence to the bottom.
Which is, I mean, maybe that's...
Yeah, no, well, he deserves it based on his play.
Yeah, work your way up, buddy.
Yeah.
And I would be Lance, Fields, probably Mac.
Lawrence, Wilson.
Yeah, I might have Lawrence ahead of Mac of just ceiling, like, when you're throwing out, well, Mac Jones can be Derek Carr. Derek Carr has never finished higher than quarterback 13. Like, we have Derek Carr on our dynasty squad, and it's cool having him be like, oh, we got a backup option. I don't know that we've started Derek Carr once.
That's fair.
In a two-quarterback league, sure, more valuable. But in a single-quarterback league, we've had Derek Carr on that team for 3 years, and I don't think he's started a single game for us.
Yeah, the hope is more Matt Ryan than Derek Carr.
Yes, if you're talking Matt Ryan, then yeah, because Matt Ryan has had a couple years where he was fantasy dominant. Carr just had never done that.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
We might even see round two pick Kyle Trask next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, baby.
Although the rumor mill in Tampa, first of all, have you seen this?
No.
So first they talked about, like, they're still heavily attempting to get Tom Brady to come back. And that, you know, the way that it's being reported is that is not a 0%.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, getting Tom Brady back for next year, we may have things to talk about this offseason. But if not, I wouldn't bet on Trask being their quarterback.
Come on. It seems
much more likely that they are going to be in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes. They're going to be in a bigger court.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Come on.
That they're going to be make, because they know what everybody else knows except for Jason, which is that you might need somebody other than Kyle Trask to get you back to a Super Bowl.
Well, it's, to me, looking at the team, like, even if you bring Russell Wilson in, is it better for them at this moment if they don't get Brady back to just burn it to the ground?
Not in their mind.
And rebuild. Well,
because I don't, you know, Bruce is long in the tooth.
Bruce is out.
Bruce is long in the tooth, and if they're going to come back, they're going to be in it for the championship. So I wouldn't be surprised. Trades, you know, some of these bigger veteran free agency moves, Tampa's going to be a target for that. And they have a winning culture. People like playing for Bruce Arians. If he sticks around, you may, you know, you throw, we look at the team opportunity chart in the Dynasty Pass, and we say, Tampa's got a lot.
Yes, they do.
But it's just, you turn a couple dials. Chris Godwin returns, okay? They bring him back. And
Fournette returns.
And you bring, and then you grab a free agent, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah. Carson Wentz, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, right. Bruce Arians and Carson Wentz, that's like oil and water.
Yeah, that's not working.
That would not work. Anybody, I mean, from the Trey Lance perspective, I don't know how much we need to talk about right now. There's not a lot of performance to evaluate. He didn't play much. 71 total pass attempts on a year is a tough, it's tough for me to sit here and say, okay, yeah, maybe it's a disappointment, but that's mostly because he didn't get to play.
Mm-hmm. He played two games at 100% of the snaps. Week 17 was against Houston, so an inferior team, but he was the quarterback 10. He was a holding call away from a top 5 guy. In Arizona, he was quarterback 20, and it was like, it's weird when you can pinpoint like one play and where he got stonewalled on fourth and short at the goal line. If he gets in on that rushing touchdown, he's a quarterback.
The biggest conversational thing, in my opinion, with Trey Lance is the simple fact that he didn't win the job, that he wasn't ready.
Because
I don't think there's any doubt that if he was, Kyle Shanahan would have tried to win a Super Bowl with Trey Lance.
You know what's funny is we talk about all the wrong beat reporters and the lies out of San Francisco and everything, but going back, thinking about how they came out and said right off the bat, from the get-go, never wavered that they want to sit Trey Lance for a year and keep Jimmy G and have Jimmy G be this guy and let Trey Lance train behind him. Maybe they were just telling the truth because it's exactly what happened. They wanted him to sit for the year. But, I mean, obviously he didn't go out and just dominate practices so much that he forced the hand. But from the get-go, they did say, like, that's what they wanted. They wanted the Patrick Mahomes comp of sit, learn, come next year stronger.
For football purposes, that was the 100% better thing to do. I mean, Trey Lance, the actual moving all of those trade assets to go up and get Trey Lance at number three overall was risky business based off of, like, his production profile. I mean, he was essentially a starter for, what, North Dakota for, like, a year. His experience.
To have him ranked that high in Dynasty is still a tremendous risk.
Yes.
Sure.
Because draft capital,
the draft capital
everything.
Is there.
Yeah, but it's not, it doesn't make you.
Draft capital guarantees starts. That's what it does.
Right.
And if he starts and he's as mobile as he is, then
that should guarantee fantasy points. But right. Neither of those guarantee a long-term starter.
Correct.
Correct.
Looking at the running back position for 2021, there were a couple of impressive rookies. Really one to me. I'm going to disagree with the organization of this group. I think Najee Harris is obviously the runaway.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about him in the Truth Show. RB4 finish, fourth in consistency, 1,200 yards, 300-plus opportunities, mm-hmm. caught a million passes. This story of Najee Harris' rookie season is success. It was a success.
Yes.
Javonte is classified as impressive. I'm only arguing with that because of the fact he was infrequently or occasionally relevant and good for fantasy starts. He was impressive with the eyeballs, and we know what the future is going to be.
I mean, running back 17.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong finish.
Yeah, but you know what he felt like? He felt like his consistency rank, which was 31.
Sure.
That's the reality of the fantasy story for him. So playing in every game will get you to 17. It's just I don't know how much he helped how many championship teams Javonte Williams was on.
No, he wasn't a difference maker for fantasy rosters this year. That's true, but certainly a super impressive rookie year when it comes to the talent, what he showed he is capable of doing on the NFL field, and going forward, depending on how the backfield shakes out there, wowzers. I mean, he could be someone that sneaks into the first round, depending on what happens with the running.
Sure.
If they dedicate, you know, the job to him, people might get hot and bothered with him.
They will, for sure.
Yeah, rightly or wrongly. And then I do think Elijah Mitchell belongs in the impressive category as well.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell is not a player we got to talk about in the Truth episode, and I want to give him his time. I will say this, though. When you look at the potential for Javonte, and let's say Melvin Gordon's gone, which is possible, you look at Najee and you look at Javonte, and you have to ask yourself where they're going to go in redraft and in dynasty startup drafts. Because it's hard to argue with an RB4 finish for Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But then you somehow are tantalized with the explosiveness, with the tackle breaking, with the kind of, I don't know, maybe more exciting skill set of Javonte Williams, in the sense that, like, Najee is kind of the hammer, but Javonte is the thunder and the lightning in
yes,
a way.
He is.
And Najee had 74 receptions on 94 targets. That is going to get destroyed without Big Ben there. I can't imagine that he gets another 90. I'd be surprised if he gets the 70 targets on the reception total in targets when you bring in someone like a Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph.
Funny
or
enough,
a rookie.
Both of these teams would be leading contenders if Aaron Rodgers becomes available.
Javonte had 53 targets for 43 receptions, too, which if you give him full-time work, that will be at the...
Javonte
That could be at the Najee level from last year.
He is great.
I agree. And so that's a real tough question.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, you could probably, in a lot of leagues, go ship Najee for Javonte Plus.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm just saying, like, depending on your convictions of what you saw... You want to play with some fire, but you may get more out of it. You may get a great wide receiver and Javonte.
I would be willing to do that if I knew Melvin Gordon was gone, but I don't think it's a 0% chance that just next year he's in a timeshare game.
You can't do it before because you know Melvin lives to destroy you.
Yeah.
He would come back just to ruin your fantasy team.
Agreed.
Pro bono.
Elijah Mitchell, was the RB25. Consistency rate of 18. He was the RB25 in 11 games. So really, let's pay attention to that consistency, those performances. I mean, the thing that was so impressive about him is that he had earned enough of the trust and respect of the team that anytime he was active, they just wanted to give him every carry.
I mean, week one of the season, this was like, you're ready to go. You're the dude. You were drafted behind the guy we traded up for.
Well, Mostert was the dude.
Sure.
And then he went down immediately.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they made him the starter from the get-go, and they stuck with him. And
he was ahead of Trey Sermon, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, he looked so great. Explosive, fast, fit the scheme well, but could not handle that workload physically. I mean, I know injuries, we don't ever want to label someone as injury prone because they usually aren't. Injuries are far flukier, but man, three different times. If you miss the same amount of games he missed with an injury, it feels a lot better than missing the games he missed from three separate injuries where it's like, man, this guy can't stay on the field when you give him the ball 25 times.
Yeah, injuries were a huge problem. And projecting their backfield, which now has six different rushing leaders in 6 years for San Francisco, that's going to be the challenge going into next year. And the variable of Trey Lance taking over, which means functionally the offense, you know, Shanahan, he's not an idiot. He's going to build an offense that accentuates the strengths of the quarterback he has. That could be advantageous for Elijah Mitchell, like it was for Alfred Morris when Robert Griffin was running the football. But it could go the other direction. They could bring somebody else in. You could see Elijah show up in training camp and maybe give the Dante Pettis effort, and all of a sudden Trey Sermon's the guy. There's just some variables when you have a player that was a sixth-round draft pick as your leading rusher, mixed with the injuries, where it's like, okay, what would they have wanted to do with this offense if Raheem Mostert was healthy?
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of go back to a thought process, a strategy over the last several years that has generically worked out for me, which is certain backfields.
No brand names.
Right, yes, thank you. but the Patriots backfield, there's a lot of value there. Uh-huh. The Niners backfield, there's a lot of value there. But I don't trust either, and it's really worked out pretty well over the years, because they don't always care who it is. And, you know, it's different guys at different times. You know, here it seemed different because it was just injury that took him out. It wasn't like game planning for someone else. But I don't know, man.
This sounds like a lot of cold water on a situation where a player played very well.
I have a hard time trusting. Like, going into next year, will I trust that Elijah Mitchell is the dude for 17 games? I probably won't.
What about week one?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think if you think he's the guy in week one, then you make the bet on him.
Sure, and then trade.
Yeah.
Or do you ship him off after this year in Dynasty?
I
call it the Philip Lindsay effect.
Right.
Go get some value.
I think he's the guy. Like, I mean, this is the point where we're in the point of Dynasty where you are making uninformed, or not, I should say, you don't have all
the
information.
You don't have the draft information.
You just can follow some tea leaves, follow some breadcrumbs, and that's how you get huge wins, though, also in your Dynasty League, is when you take the gamble of that Elijah Mitchell, I think he's going to be the guy, I don't think they're going to draft a replacement for him, and you go get him while his value is low right now, because those other things exist,
you really
have a huge win.
If you're really, really good at football, we have seen evidence that that is enough to get you back out on the field. I mean,
we
spent an offseason doubting James Robinson, and then they tried to work Carlos Hyde in, and eventually talent just won the day, right? I mean, talent got him back out. So if Elijah is great, then the draft capital, the ambiguity, all those things aren't going to be barriers for him. It's just a risk. It's a tremendous risk heading into the year. And yeah, he got hurt three times, but then they were like, yeah, we're willing to hurt you a fourth. Like, go out there and take 30 more carries.
And lucky for him, it's not just Elijah Mitchell. It's every single running
Eliza.
Back. Every single running back for the 49ers just gets hurt.
Yeah. Them in Baltimore have practice field issues. Okay, running back. So those were the three applause-worthy running backs. Let's get to the okay running backs. Michael Carter, fourth round pick, finished at RB29. 7% great games, 36% good. Missed some time with injury as well. Joined Saquon, Hines, Cohen, and McCaffrey as the only rookie running backs over the last 14 years to have multiple 8-plus reception games. Earned, you know, he followed kind of the rookie model of playing time increase, trust increase over the course of the year. They had a lot of running backs in the mix in New York.
Sure.
I don't know that I view Michael Carter very positively. I certainly think he can be, but when you look at his season, he had his most impressive stretch right in the middle of the year, week 7 through 10, and week 7 through 10 is when Mike White was the quarterback for this team. That was when he was dumping the ball off left, right, and center, and all of a sudden, you know, those stats of, you know, had a lot of reception games. Well, yeah, those all came with not Zach Wilson. He had one good game with Zach Wilson the second half of the year. So it's just one of those where I pumped the brakes a little bit. Now, Tevin Coleman is...
He'll be gone.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that the arrow's pointing up from this season for Michael Carter. It's only going to be better, and he showed enough flashes of what he could do. But I don't want to just look at the game log as all the same when so much of the value came without Zach Wilson.
Yeah, and I'm not that optimistic either. I mean, for a player of that size, I don't think he's ever going to hit the carry totals that's going to make him, you know, he's going to have a ceiling that is going to make him a very difficult pick, and maybe that'll make me underestimate him. Maybe that'll make him a receiving back that deserves more attention than he gets, but I don't think there's a future where Michael Carter is Austin Eckler.
I agree with that, but I think that Michael Carter can be a top 20 guy.
What about the round man to touchdown? Ramondre Stevenson, fourth round pick, had some huge games, great running offense.
The round mound of touchdown.
You like it?
I love it.
It's not bad.
It's a homage to Sir Charles.
Yeah, yeah.
His name is Ramondre almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Heck yeah, man. The round mound of touchdown.
Yeah.
Done. First nickname of 2022.
It's a long one. Since 2013, here are the rookie running backs with multiple games of 100-plus yards and two rushing touchdowns. Gurley, Zeke, Jacobs, Jeremy Hill.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor and Ramondre Stevenson.
He was super impressive.
Very well-rounded running back. I think eye test. Oh, well, yeah, there you go. The eye test, I wasn't expecting this from him, I'll be honest, coming in. I think Damian Harris is a better between the tackles runner than Ramondre is, but when he was on the field, they did have something else in the offense that Damian Harris couldn't bring. And, you know, Damian Harris is in the last year of his contract. So there's a path for Ramondre. Like, I like him a lot more than Carter.
Yeah, me too.
And there's a path for him being the guy if he earns the trust of this coaching staff.
Yeah. I think, Ramondre Stevenson is very, very talented. The fact that he can actually catch the ball while being a goal line back, I mean, that's kind of what you're hoping for fantasy. Those are the two most valuable situations for fantasy football is, are you going to catch the ball and do you get touchdown opportunities? I think he has the rare skill set to really, truly be both of those. Now, next year, it's still Damian Harris. He's under contract. He was the more explosive back between the two. I think he was the better runner on the ground, and I don't expect anything to change.
Tons of touchdowns.
But long term, you know, this was his rookie year. So you're talking 2 years from 2 years from now, I think he could be the dude. And I think he would be really, really valuable for fantasy. And in the meantime, while you wait for that to happen, he's not irrelevant.
No, he'll get drives.
Yeah. So he was one of the first end of the season dynasty targets on my radar.
Yeah, I like it.
He showed a lot of flashes, and we just talked about Mac Jones. The offense should get better and improve and move forward, and Mac Jones get better. I mean, that's not a guarantee always.
Was it
Baker
Mayfield? Was it Michael Turner and Tevin Coleman
yes.
in Atlanta together?
No.
They were never together.
Michael Turner was with LaDainian.
Who was with
Tomlinson.
Who was Tevin Coleman with?
It was Freeman.
It was with Freeman. Yeah. I'm sorry. So that is my only worry about this situation for Mondrick in redraft leagues is that he's too good.
You're always waiting.
He's too good to not be a handcuff, like a pure end-of-season backup. But he's not good enough to be a regular starter or somebody that you can count on when Damian Harris is healthy.
They've got him cheap.
So, I mean, Harris got hurt multiple times, and that made Ramondre impactful. In the disappointing running back category for rookies, Etienne due to injury, first-round pick. I want to talk about him in a minute, but Trey Sermon was the biggest disappointment, third-round draft pick by the 49ers.
Whoops.
I took him in the first round of our Dynasty startup at the back of the first round. Thankfully, I took Elijah Mitchell in the third. I mean, if I just did those in
opposite order. You mean in the rookie draft, not the startup?
Yeah,
right?
Sorry. Yeah. In the rookie draft, I would have felt great about it.
You have between zero and two future running backs right now.
That is right. Thank you.
So he was the biggest disappointment. I would say, you know, Chuba Hubbard in the fourth round got tons of playing time and showed you that you should probably trade him to whoever has Christian McCaffrey like now.
Yes.
And then Kenneth Gainwell didn't really make an impact.
He was the strangest, I think, of like I liked him coming out. His production profile was awesome.
You want to talk about a guy who showed flashes, yeah, too? He really did. He looked good on the field. He had a couple of really good games.
Including a rushing touchdown in week one. Like, it looked like it was going to be Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. Like, Boston Scott was not part of this game plan.
Then Jordan Howard.
And then when it got to the point where, oh, well, Kenny Gainwell is the obvious person to step up here because Miles Sanders is missing time, that's what it was. No, we're in fact going to bench him. It was
Let me put it this way. He only had five games this whole season where he got 35% of the snaps. Okay? 5 for 5 RB1s. Every single time that he was over 35% snap. 35%! This is not a huge barrier.
Who are you talking about?
You mean a top 24?
Yes, I'm sorry. Top 12 would be way more impressive. That would be incredible. But he was top 12, three of those five. I mean, he was still great. But my point is, like, when he was given the opportunity, he looked great.
Yes.
So going forward,
You're optimistic?
I am optimistic.
Gainwell or Michael Carter?
Oh, Gainwell, for me, personally. I believe more in what the Eagles offense can do going forward than I do in the Jets.
Let me make life hard on you. Travis Etienne was a first-round draft pick. He'll be returning. He got more time to recover than
anyone.
A lot of players get for an injury of that nature. Are you more confident dynasty-wise in the yet-to-be-seen, yet-first-round draft pick, Travis Etienne?
You're going Cam Akers, aren't you?
No, let's mix him in there.
All right.
Or Cam Akers or Elijah Mitchell. Okay, I was going Elijah Mitchell. Because we're talking about these rookies.
Oh, that's funny.
But, I mean, you look at a player that was proven and established, but Etienne, the path is there. I mean, you have James Robinson with an Achilles injury. You have a new head coach, one that we all like.
Oh, I forgot about Robinson's Achilles.
Yeah, and you have Doug Peterson now.
Etienne.
So I feel like Etienne is a player that you could go – he may be the guy to go shop Elijah Mitchell for.
Yeah, I think I would put Etienne.
But you do have to wince when you do it.
Yeah, I mean, all three of these guys have giant question marks. The right answer could very easily be Cam Akers here, where if another year removed from the injury or the recovery time and the better offense for sure. It's between those two guys. I would put Mitchell third for me.
Let's jump into rookie wide receivers. The impressive rookie wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase. Jalen Waddle and yes. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, what needs to be said? He just literally...
He's good.
He proved anybody and everybody wrong that would ever have said this team should have spent something else on this pick. I mean, you can say what you want about how bad the offensive line is for Cincinnati. It doesn't matter.
So what? Who cares?
Ja'Marr Chase makes every single play a potentially... home run play for Joe Burrow.
Every time they snap the ball, there is a legitimate chance at a touchdown because of Ja'Marr Chase.
How good was he in the Super Bowl, too? I mean, those catches, the one, even the swing pass that ended up being a rush for him, he just, like, palmed the ball and ran down the field.
Where was this guy in the preseason when he couldn't catch a football?
I don't know. That's a funny thing to think about.
So, finished at wide receiver 5. We talked about him extensively on the Truth Show. So, if you want a bigger Ja'Marr Chase breakdown, that's where you look. On the rookie review show, he's great. Jalen Waddle, finished at wide receiver 16. I think he impressed a lot of people this year. Again, you have a head coaching change in Miami. But this past year, 141 targets, 104 catches, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Trade for Waddle. I mean, if you – McDaniel, everything out of his mouth is Waddle. He is going to build an offense that runs through Jalen Waddle. And so long as his body can keep up with it, which he did this year, I mean, Jalen Waddle should be a fantasy star.
You were 100% accurate in the coach of the Dolphins. But my brain thought you – we have a McDaniel and a McDaniels that got hired.
Single and plural.
Okay. So the single.
That's right.
Yeah.
Unmarried. I don't know if he is married or not. But that's one way to look at it. Yeah, I'll vet that. Hold on.
They do add an S to your name once you're married. That is how that works. Jalen Waddle, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's just going to be integral to the offense for as long as he's playing football, I think, because he needs to be. But what's his ceiling? Is he a top 10 potential?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, he's going to get just an out of control amount of volume that he got this year. I mean, like once they made that transition, you know, from week 6 through 13, he was wide receiver 3, and that's a long span in a football season. Do we have a breaking news?
Breaking news.
What do we got?
Mike McDaniel is married.
Oh, yeah. That was the breaking news?
Yes,
I feel like
was.
We just
dropped
lost a little bit of credibility.
Yeah. Well, yes, for sure. That was a credibility killer. Continue.
We were just having this discussion, Jay. You were like, okay, well, when you think of slot wide receivers, who do you think of? And it's, well, you know, Welker, either the Brady guys. And you know who the wide receiver coach is now for Jalen Waddle? Wes Welker. So, I mean, he has a lot of arrows pointing up when it comes to coaches and how they have had previous success.
Yeah, and he's going to catch the deep ball, too.
He's also extremely fast.
He's going to be doing what T.Y. Hilton does out of the slot sometimes. Let's go to the playoff king. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who also is thrown the football by Jared Goff. But finished at wide receiver 21, into the very last part of the season, absolutely on fire. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I brought it up earlier. He's a fourth-round draft pick.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
The eye test to me is this is a good, not great player that caught a bunch of touchdowns at the end of the season and is still attached to, I think, what we would consider to be a questionable offense with uncertainty at the quarterback position for the future. So I don't know, you know, if you had to make me bet something, I don't think it's going to be what you got from week 13 on the rest of his career, but he certainly proved himself over a long enough period of time to be relevant.
I feel so genuinely disrespectful to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I cannot get myself to believe. I really can't, and it's unfair to him. You can't ask him to do more than he did on the field to prove it to you. He was given an opportunity. He dominated. He was great. He won people championships, the playoff king. I just don't believe it. And maybe, full disclosure, self-evaluation here, this is Brandon Ayuk fears of in his rookie season where he broke out, and a lot of that came when Deebo was gone and when Kittle was gone. And then you look at Amon-Ra St. Brown, well, DeAndre Swift and his targets were gone. T.J. Hockenson was gone. That's when the real breakout happened for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I just don't know that he has the physical tool set, the offense to really be a dominator. He could, and I'll feel silly because I feel bad. There were a couple of weeks in the playoffs where I would recommend player X or player Y over Amon-Ra, even though he was heating up, he was on fire, and wrong call. So I feel like I should not double down on this. But it's just how it's just kind of how I feel. So I'm happy to hear you say that. So
no, I'm in the same place.
I don't want to be wrong on it. Mike, do you love Amon-Ra? Are you in?
I am in that I think he's good. And like for where you got him in your rookie draft, you should be very happy that you took the plunge on him. I do believe that the Lions are in a strong position this year to, in the draft,
go make another splash.
Make a splash. Yeah. Do they believe in the quarterbacks in this draft class? Because then you could take a quarterback too. The old the Bengals. Take your quarterback in the first round. and very early second round, you take a top-level wide receiver and you just jumpstart your offense. And, like, that's something that could happen.
And then that just knocks him down a peg. Yeah, at least Al believed and put him in there in the playoffs.
Oh, man, championship winner.
Ended up.
Oh, I hear Al groaning back there.
Is that he didn't?
That's a painful one.
I'm sorry. He did not put him in.
What if you did?
I would have a trophy.
Man, that feels bad.
The butterfly effect of that would have been interesting because you would have beat me.
Yep.
And then you would have won a title. And then I wouldn't have felt the pain of losing a title in the championship game.
Yeah.
I like following these.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. How much less valuable?
I also would have saved about $30 of printing up a canvas print
Of
the interception by Ian Book that beat you.
That's what I was going to ask, was how much less valuable that print is to you now that you did not win the championship. All right, well, Amon-Ra.
And then Al's wife wouldn't have left him for losing at fantasy.
People are just going to need to make their call on Amon-Ra and see whether or not they believe. I think you're talking about probably a decent wide receiver too going forward. Maybe a Robert Woods style of value going forward, which has a definite place. I just don't see superstardom.
Devontae Smith, first round pick. Was it an okay or a disappointing year for Devontae Smith? I have a definitive disappointing.
I have a definitive okay. That's funny.
Okay. Mike? Yeah.
I am definitely disappointed and okay that I'm disappointed. It was for a rookie to go out with Jalen Hurts, who is not a
give all the qualifiers.
Well, no, but I'm saying there's not a prolific amount of passing yards to go around, and he still ended with over 900 yards and 5 touchdowns. Just like
what killed you was 64 receptions on the year.
Yeah.
When he wasn't there, he destroyed you. You want to know a playoff run from week 12? 75th, 68th, 51st, 11th, 49th, 58th.
Yeah, it went
really
bad.
You compare that
to... That's when Jalen Hurts was hurt.
Look, we've got plenty of excuses for all the reasons Amon-Ra St. Brown could have been bad in the playoff run. I think Devontae Smith's a great talent. I think he will be in the future, but I would call this a disappointing year. For a first-round draft pick, when you hold him up against his peers,
sure,
and you look at Jalen Waddle's rookie season and Ja'Marr Chase's rookie season and Amon-Ra in the fourth round, to me, this is a disappointing season because I never knew when I could play Devontae Smith ever.
That is fair.
It's not like there aren't other players in the NFL that on any given week could give you an explosive performance. I mean, that's a realistic thing. But you'd been better off, you know, with a lot of other guys this year. And that's coming from experience. And maybe that's too much. Maybe that's coming from too much of that. But this was a year where he did have some good performances, specifically week 9 and 10. But I didn't know when to play him.
Agreed.
And so I'm going to give him the disappointing so that he has a bigger leap next year.
Yeah, we're doing him a favor.
I'm doing him a favor. Now, Jason was definitively okay.
Yeah, I think he did have an okay season. I mean...
29% good games?
Yeah, when I guess
standards are different among different people.
Well, I mean, this is not just a matter of what is the truth of his 2021 season, right? This is a rookie review looking forward. And to me, 900 yards in your rookie season, 5 touchdowns is a really, really solid rookie outing. Obviously, it wasn't Waddle. Obviously, it wasn't Ja'Marr Chase. So he didn't set the world on fire. And I don't know if standards are skewed or changed by that.
It's hard when your standard is breaking the all-time record.
I think we're having two different discussions because there are no reviews looking forward. There is a review of the past. Which is what we're saying. I'm saying on this past season, my review would be disappointing. Now, the question about the future is a great one, which is, do you believe he is a, like you look at redraft leagues, Jason, is he a wide receiver 2 or better next season? Because that means you're locking him in your lineup every week.
100%. I believe he is a wide receiver 2 or better next year. Over the last decade, he had the 15th most receiving yards for a rookie. The list of guys ahead of him are pretty much universal studs for fantasy football, with the exception of Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, I think his and that's a review of what he did last year. Was it consistent? No. You for fantasy on a week-by-week basis of whether or not he helped you consistently win games, that could be a disappointment. But his season, as a recap, was a really solid rookie season, because coming into this year, the questions about DeVonta Smith were, can he even handle the NFL field?
Sure.
He's an itty-bitty, skinny little twig that can't handle, and you shouldn't draft him.
Oh,
you shouldn't.
No.
That was the detractors.
He's the 10th pick in the NFL draft, and he won the Heisman.
No, Mike, you know what I'm saying. Yes. The detractors were all saying, you and I, all three of us, I think, were huge. I love DeVonta Smith coming in. I didn't have any questions.
Those questions were real and out there.
I didn't have any questions, but there were certainly a lot of detractors saying that he couldn't handle
press.
They might have been worried. They might have been worried about it.
And yes. And he proved that, no, he belongs. He can beat defenders. He can handle press coverage. He can do those things. Still a rookie, still with Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Future's bright.
I think that Elijah Moore had a more impressive rookie season than DeVonta Smith. And I know it was a smaller sample, but that's what I believe. When you end the year, DeVonta Smith ended the year poorly from week 11 on. The end of Elijah Moore's season was a stretch run of borderline dominance and it seemed repeatable and it seemed prescriptive. And so I think Elijah Moore he's also attached to a quarterback that's going to throw the ball more than Jalen Hurts is going to throw the ball. So I have a great deal of excitement for Elijah Moore's future with Zach Wilson in New York. What do you guys think?
I agree. And I think in redraft, as of right now, I would probably take Moore over Smith. Would you go Smith, Jay?
I would go Smith, but I really like both players. Okay. I mean, what you saw Elijah Moore do, and this was what you hoped when the Jets drafted him, he was an explosive athlete. You saw it on the field where you get him the ball and he can make stuff happen. It really was, Andy. That's the only word to use. It was dominance. From weeks 9 through 13, he was, I think, like the wide receiver 2. He was just absolutely on fire, and that was his rookie season with a rookie quarterback. So arrow is pointing up. I don't have any problem someone saying they would rather have Elijah Moore over DeVonta Smith. That's a legit debate. I'm on the DeVonta Smith side, but Moore belongs there. He deserved it. He was awesome.
Not even 22 years old yet. Other rookies in the disappointing category. Kadarius Toney.
Well, better luck next year.
I was impressed with him.
It's so
for
absurd.
A very small amount of time.
But the impression of a game where you go 10 for 189.
That's hard to do.
You could have hit 200, but then you made a boneheaded mistake and tried to punch somebody. You got kicked off the field. And now you already have rumblings from the underground that Kadarius Toney could be a trade away candidate this year already.
I have not heard that.
Yeah, they're you got to get your ear to the ground. It's still low.
Is it? This is in the bushes or somewhere else?
No, this is underground. We have not.
This is beneath the bushes.
Yeah, subterranean.
This is in the dirt.
Yeah.
Wow. Look.
Once it sprouts, I'll let you know.
Okay, then the bush will grow.
Did you guys see this stat in this upcoming 2022 season? The Giants have the most cap space devoted to the wide receiver position in the NFL.
Because of Galladay and a first-round pick in Kadarius Toney. Yep.
Well, and the story this whole offseason with the all the head coaching candidates was they all want to be there with Daniel Jones. So if it's the final shot.
Yeah.
Rashad Bateman?
Yeah, TBD.
That's a tough one.
Disappointing rookie season for sure. Showed enough
flashes
to where he's a quality player.
It's Bateman or Toney? Dynasty.
Toney.
Really? Mm. I think that would be a non-consensus pick.
Yeah, I think I would be perhaps in the minority
side,
there.
Yeah.
To me, the reason why is because I don't think Bateman, personally, I don't think Bateman will be better than the third target in the offense. I think it's Andrews and Hollywood first, and Bateman is a really good, third option. Whereas Kadarius Toney, he's competing with a broken Sterling Shepard and Kenny Galladay and nothing.
Yeah, I think Bateman will make the jump past Hollywood next season.
Right, that's
the differential.
That is the differential.
Rondale Moore, second round pick. Dee Stridge, second round pick. Tutu Atwell.
Any more tough ones for me?
Terrace Marshall.
That one's the most disappointing.
That sound you just heard was Kyle's heart shattering into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
It was not a fart.
Yeah, Kyle loved him even more than I did. I really did like Terrace Marshall. Drafted him in the second
round.
The
Panthers liked him, too.
They needed him. They could have used him. And I don't know what happened. I don't understand it. But he must not be good. I mean,
it's very hard to overcome.
Sam Darnold?
But I was going to say certain rookie seasons, too. Like, when you don't get flashes. Like, Joshua Palmer, I like a lot more than Terrace Marshall. Mm-hmm. I think Joshua Palmer is a baller. I think he's going to be a great NFL pro. Now, whether that means a top 24 receiver, that's going to depend on the depth chart. But I think he's one of those players that, like, he can make the leap. If Mike Williams is gone, he's suddenly very interesting.
Mike Williams, we've said a couple times how bad this wide receiver free agent class is. Mike Williams is kind of the bell of the ball, assuming that Devontae Adams
could
is franchised, and you know, because of the ACL injury with Godwin, he could get overpaid to go somewhere. And then if that happens, Joshua Palmer is a really nice asset.
Other names that you want to bring up? We didn't get to see much of Dyami Brown.
I mean,
Des Fitzpatrick. I remember talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, the only guys that I think are worth even mentioning their names.
Super Bowl champion Ben Skowronek?
No. but Dyami Brown from the Manders and Nico Collins from the Texans. Both of them, I saw a spark. Just a little spark.
Don't bury him.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Rookie tight ends, there was one.
Two.
Impressive.
Too impressive. How dare you?
Too impressive. Okay.
Two super impressive.
Two impressive tight ends. Kyle Pitts, we talked about on the Truth Show. The future is very bright.
Yeah, he's okay.
And then Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, the Muth is loose, baby.
25% great games or good games.
Realistically, though, once we move past the wonderful nickname and the jokes, I really, really
and
do believe
it was a great season.
I really believe he is a hyper talented tight end. I think his future is bright, except for the quarterback. He is not a Kyle Pitts level dominator. Nobody is. Kyle Pitts is a freak of nature.
He just doesn't have the nickname. Like, we need to give him something. Like, the Pitts is the best.
That's the problem. Is his name?
Yeah. When
Pitts.
You say you're like, it's the Pitts.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty tough rebrand to get that from.
Right.
It's the Pitts.
100% negative to.
He's trying it on for size and the positive.
Yeah. Just to see.
Oh, man, that's the Pitts.
Oh, that's the Pitts, yo. No, don't work. But the you know, Pat Freiermuth is not going to ever be the centerpiece of an offense the way that Kyle Pitts can be. So without a great quarterback, Kyle Pitts can still get the yardage. Pat Freiermuth was in college and is in the NFL a touchdown machine.
Yes.
You get inside the red zone, he's perfect. He reads defense as well. He catches the ball.
Freiermuth or Cole Kmet in Dynasty?
I would take Freiermuth. I'm going to bet
talent.
I'll take Freiermuth as well. Because Jason brings it up often, rookie tight ends, that they're not supposed to be good.
Yeah, it can take
a
while.
And this was a pretty impressive rookie season for, 60 for 497 and 7.
Yeah, that's solid.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And
is that the end of
Rudolph as your quarterback?
They can't do that, right? That would be like a practical joke on themselves.
I don't know.
They're going to – I know this. I know that they will try to not do that. I don't know that they're going to be able to not do that, but I know they'll try.
Carson Wentz?
I would take Wentz over Mason Rudolph.
If Wentz was there, I'd be thrilled for Pat Freiermuth.
No, it makes sense. I mean, he was tied with Mark Andrews for the most red zone targets amongst all tight ends. That is what he's known for. And I don't think a new quarterback – that's going to be part of the offensive plan around the goal line for years to come with Pat Freiermuth.
But the problem is for sure that – let's say it is Mason Rudolph. What's the cap on passing touchdowns? 22? Like, if
there's
it's
there's an extra
year?
Week now, so I'll
oh,
go
okay,
23.
So 23.
Yeah, that's like the Pitts, man.
That's the pinnacle. And so then you divide those up amongst the whole receiving core, and it's bad. But if they can get a good quarterback, if they were able to get Jimmy Garoppolo, who's not the greatest, but at least Jimmy could go and...
He's competent.
Yeah, he's competent, or obviously if Aaron Rodgers comes to town, hallelujah. I do think he's very talented and will score a large portion of their receiving touchdowns. It's just a matter of how big is that pie.
That's a good point. Two names I'll throw out amongst the rest of the tight ends, which were all disappointing. But I'll throw Hunter Long's name out there. Don't forget about him. He was one of the best collegiate tight ends in all of college football at Boston College. And then you have I'll throw Brevin Jordan's name out there.
That's the name I was going to bring up.
In Houston, because I think he will potentially carve out the pass-catching role there. Gesicki's a free agent in terms of the situation for Hunter Long.
I don't think Gesicki comes back.
Yeah, I mean, and Hunter Long, I mean, they drafted him in the third round. So there's the – and a new head coach. There could be some offensive changes.
McDaniel wants a tight end that can block. So he doesn't want right. Gesicki.
Yeah, there you go. So Brevin Jordan also made some plays, and he is a pass catcher. He's an athlete. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
That is.
All right. That'll do it for today's show. UltimateDraftKit.com if you want to get in on the pre-order bonuses.
Bonus.
Otherwise, we will be back with you next week with a 10 Things to Remember episode. One of our favorite of the year and some mailbag. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.